Do you feel peaceful this morning? Is the rain making you feel at peace? What is it going to take if you're not at peace? What is it going to take for you to be at peace? When I think of peaceful places, I think of places like this. I don't know what you think of when you think of peace. But do you need to be here to be at peace? I know these kinds of places help me to be at peace, but is this a requirement? I don't know what you're thinking of. Maybe there's some things in your life that you're thinking, you know, if this were to change, then I could be at peace. If only I got to go on vacation, maybe. I need a vacation. Then I could be at peace. Maybe you're thinking, if I just had a different job, then I could be at peace, less stress in my life. Or maybe it's even a marriage, a difficult marriage. If I just had a different spouse, or if I didn't have this spouse that I am having to deal with, maybe I would be at peace. Or maybe you're wanting to be married. If I were just married, then I would be at peace. Or if my children weren't so difficult, or if my parents weren't so difficult, or maybe it's my neighbors, or a different roommate, or maybe it's just a different you, you know, if I had a different body, if I had a different brain, or more money. I don't know what it might be. If you had a different car, I was just thinking this week, yesterday, Friday, we took a long drive in the car, and we got a different car earlier this year. And Doris is like, I really like this different driver that you are with this car. And I hadn't really thought about it, but it's got this little indicator on the dash. I'll show it to you here. It shows you how much miles per gallon you're getting. And so I've been intrigued with that little miles per gallon. You know, depending on how you drive, that number will go up or go down. And I noticed that if I stomp on the accelerator, that number goes down. But if I just ease on it, just gently, you know, that number kind of stays the same. And if I can just keep a constant speed, that number will start going up. And so it's really changed the way that I drive. I'm a much tamer driver watching this number and trying to keep it going up. And I'm probably one of those guys that's irritating in the slow lane, you know, like, why doesn't this guy speed up? It's like, it takes a while to get back up to speed, you know, without making that number go down. So I don't know what it is, but that is for me, has changed the way that I drive. So, and Doris said, you're a more peaceful driver. So what is it that is going to bring peace in your life or make you peaceful? I think of world peace. What is it that is going to bring world peace? We hear terms like ISIS and organizations like that are causing tremendous unrest in the world. And I'm wondering, what if I lived, you know, in northern Iraq? Or what if I lived in Syria? Could I be at peace? Is it possible? And what is it, even on a grander scale, what is it that's going to bring peace to those countries, those locations? Or what about Ferguson, Missouri, here in the United States? A lot of unrest has been happening there. What is it that will bring peace? Or if you lived in the Ukraine or in Gaza, could you be at peace, and what is going to bring peace? And so we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit, and this is, of course, the next one that we're looking at. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So, peace comes from you, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? According to this verse, peace comes from you. You who are followers of Jesus Christ are people of peace. And remember, you remember the passage where Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Now you not only have internal peace, but you also have an opportunity to bring peace into the world. And so I want to look at both of those aspects, the peace that we can have inside and also the peace that we can bring to the world. We'll be looking at the peace that we can bring to the world next Sunday. But today I want to focus on the peace that we can have inside. The people of God are people of peace. So what do you think of this description? Would you describe yourself or would someone describe you as a person of peace? I don't know what you think. How would your children describe you, or your spouse, or your coworkers, or whoever? Would they describe you as a person of peace, a peaceful person? I don't know how I would be described. I'll have to ask some people. Are Christians people of peace? Are churches places of peace? And are you at peace in your heart? If you're sitting here this morning, I don't know what's going on inside of you, but are you at peace inside? So today we acknowledge that a fruit of the Spirit of God is peace, and that we are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus, who in Isaiah is described as the Prince of Peace. So my call this morning is that we would embrace this quality of God in our lives and seek to be people of peace. So the first question I want to ask is, where does peace come from? Now it's important to understand that first of all, peace only comes from God. You will not find lasting peace, true lasting peace outside of God. It's not different than, we talked about love and joy, we've already looked at true love, true joy, true peace only come from God and through God. And so these questions of like, well, if only this situation were to change, if only I got this person out of my life who's kind of a thorn in my side, you could pick whatever thing you might think of. If only we would ban guns maybe, or if we had this certain person in office, or if we changed this situation, then we would have peace. But that's not really the case of just changing the situation. Peace comes, true lasting peace comes only from God. I was thinking of a trailer court ministry that a friend of mine in their church has at Maranatha Christian Fellowship up the road a little ways here. They have a ministry to Canaan Trailer Courts. I'm not sure where that's located, but he's talked a lot about it. And the other day he told me, he said, they've been in there for quite a while doing different things for the children there. Some of them are coming to their church now. They're in there very consistently ministering to the people that live in that trailer court. And he mentioned that the other day the postman who comes in there delivering the mail stopped him the other day. And he said, I've noticed a difference since you guys have been here. He said, these kids, he said, are a lot different than what they used to be before you came. And it just made me think, you know, peace comes from God. They are God's presence in that trailer court, and their presence there is impacting that trailer court. God is impacting those kids' lives, the people that live there, and they're doing a lot of different things that they never thought they would do. The last couple weeks, he's been telling me about how they're trying to remove some insects from a trailer and how they're doing that. That's part of their ministry. I don't think he ever thought as a pastor he would be doing that. But they have been consistently reaching out to this trailer court, and their presence there has made a difference. Peace begins with God. And peace begins for us, for each of us individually, by us making peace with God. There may be some of you thinking, why do I need to make peace with God? In fact, the whole world is probably thinking in some ways, why do I need to worry about God? Why do I even need to care about Him? That's for other people to worry about. But the truth is that all of us, every single person in the world, needs to make peace with God. The Bible says that our unmitigated sin makes us enemies of God. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. Colossians 1:21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. I don't know that if we've ever thought of ourselves as before we were saved as enemies of God, but that's a pretty strong statement that anybody who is not a believer is an enemy of God because of their sin, because of the sin in their life. In Romans 5:10, Paul again refers to us as enemies of God in our sin. And so without Jesus, we're all enemies of God. Without believing in Jesus, we are all enemies of God and we have no hope of true, lasting peace. If you read in the book of James, he was even harsher. In chapter 4, verse 4, he says, friendship with the world is what? He says, friendship with the world is hatred toward God. Another very strong statement. And this is where many people fail to understand that the lack of peace that they experience, the lack of peace that we experience comes from our lack of peace with God, ultimately. That's where it goes back to. The lack of peace that we experience comes from a lack of peace with God. We have no peace because we are at odds with God. The world has no peace because the world is at odds with God. And so if you want peace, you need to make peace with God. That's the bottom line starting point for having peace and for making peace. You want peace in the world? Then be a peacemaker by helping others find peace with God. And we can't leave this verse hanging here because it's kind of an ugly verse in some ways. We need to finish with the next one that says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. God didn't leave us there as enemies of him, but no, he stepped in to correct the situation. He sent his son to pay the penalty for our sin so that by believing in him we might be forgiven and that we might be at peace with God. No longer enemies. In fact, we're called what? Sons and daughters of God. What an amazing transformation that happens when we believe in Jesus as the Son of God. We're no longer enemies, but sons and daughters. Romans 5:1 puts it this way, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so without understanding the fact that we are enemies, I don't know if we can grasp the greatness of being restored and reconciled to God, to be no longer enemies, but to be sons and daughters of God. What an amazing thing that God has done for us. And so this is where peace begins. You cannot have true, lasting peace without making peace with God. And so I don't know where any of you are at here this morning or if you're listening through the podcast, but if you have not done that, I invite you this morning to make peace with him today by believing in Jesus, his son. Don't wait. Start there. Make peace with God. Know Jesus and know peace. I love this. Came across this on the internet. Doris found it. But this really kind of sums it up well. If you know Jesus, you know peace. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know peace. It's the truth. That's a good way of thinking about it. We need to make peace with God first. Now, maybe you've already made peace with God, but you're still sitting here this morning saying, you know, I really don't feel that peaceful. Maybe you're a Christian, but peace is not a word that someone would use to describe your life. And maybe you're worried about things even now. Maybe you're having a hard time focusing on what I'm saying because you're worried about some things that you really need to get to and you're not sure what to do about. Maybe you're overwhelmed even by the trouble in the world. It's easy to be overwhelmed by that. Or the trouble in your own life. You're drowning in it. And you're wondering, where is this peace that God promises? And I know for myself, I've often been in that place of wondering, God, where is this peace that you promise? And it reminds me of two storms in the Bible. And I love these stories. They're some of my favorite stories in the Bible, these two storms. The first one we find in Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to just leave this picture up for you to look at as I read the story. Actually, I'm looking in Mark chapter 4's version. Mark chapter 4. That day when evening came, and we're talking about Jesus here, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." How many times have I come to Jesus and said, "Don't you care if I drown?" I've done that many times. "Don't you see my situation? Don't you care if I drowned here?" And I've often read this story and found myself asking the question, how could Jesus sleep in the boat while this furious storm is raging? How could he just be asleep? I mean, surely the waves were getting him wet. I don't know. This picture shows him inside of the stern, but it says the waves were crashing over the boat. How could he just sleep during the storm? But you know, as I was thinking about the story again this week, I think the real question is, how could the disciples worry when Jesus is in the boat? And the same question would be for me. How could I worry when Jesus is in the boat? When Jesus is with me, how could I actually think that he might abandon me, or he might not know what's going on, or he might not be able to handle the situation that's happening? How could I think that? But I do. I think that sometimes. But how could we worry when Jesus is in the boat? And I wonder for us, when is the last time that you, like these disciples, have marveled at his power? Where you've said, "Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? That he just speaks the word and it's calm. Who is this?" When is the last time that you've marveled at his power? Do you believe that he is the Son of God, that he is who he says he is? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he said, that he promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you"? Do you believe that? Do I believe that? But we forget, and we need to be reminded often of who he is and all that he has promised to us. In Philippians, we're familiar with this passage. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How does that song go? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. This weekend has been 7 years this weekend since my mom was killed in an accident in Michigan. And I've talked about this story before, so I won't go into detail. But while we were up for the funeral, of course, Larissa had an accident riding a motorcycle and was injured. Her spleen was shattered, and she was in the hospital for 8 days. And so we were back and forth between viewings and being at the hospital, and then, going back and forth between the hospital and my home area. And it was kind of a crazy time. Many of you experienced kind of crazy times in your life where everything just seems to be turned upside down and you don't know which way is up. And I remember the morning of the funeral, driving, we were about an hour away from my home area, driving from the hospital to go up to the funeral for my mother. And I remember in the car talking with Doris, and we were just reflecting on how things have been the last couple days. And both of us said, you know, I have never felt a peace like I feel right now. Never in my life ever felt peace like that. And I don't know if we understand all the time the peace that God brings in situations. I don't know that we get it. I don't know that we comprehend it. But there are times like that where suddenly we realize how much God is intervening in our lives, how much He is undergirding what we do. He is our foundation that we stand on. He's the rock that we stand on. And how firm that rock is. It's not like sinking sand. It's a firm rock. And we experience at times this kind of peace, this peace of God which transcends all understanding. And I don't know that we would ever understand it without going through those storms, those difficulties in life. I don't know that we would ever get it of experiencing that kind of peace that God brings supernaturally for us. And as I think of the disciples' situation in this storm, I think for me, that time in the car was a time where I had to marvel and say, even the wind and the waves obey Him. I experienced it in my life. I knew what that meant for me. And my guess is many of you have experienced that kind of peace from God as well in the storms of your own life. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." What a wonderful promise that we have of this peace that God gives for us to stand in the times of storm. So why do we not experience this peace sometimes? Why is it difficult for us to find it sometimes? Why do we worry? Why do we fret? Why are we stressed out sometimes? And I believe the answer is we find in the second storm in Matthew 14. And I want to just put another picture up for you to look at. And this is the story where Jesus sends his disciples ahead of him across the Sea of Galilee, and he stays behind to pray. And once again, they run into a storm. And we would say, well, why doesn't Jesus just prevent these storms from happening? He could do that, you know. He's powerful enough. Why doesn't he just prevent them? But we don't understand God's power, and we don't understand the peace that he brings without going through the storm. He doesn't prevent the storms of life, but he brings peace in the storms of life. So in the late hours of the night, Jesus comes to them walking on the water in the middle of this storm. And the disciples freak out. Of course, you and I probably would as well. They didn't know who he was. They were battling the storm. They were afraid for their lives. And here is some eerie person, image out there on the water. And they're terrified. And then Peter does this cool thing after they understand that it's Jesus. And he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Can you imagine? Peter's walking on the water. And I think, you know, he was like, for a while, he was focused on Jesus and thinking, wow, this is really cool. And then he noticed, he started to overthink it. Does anybody else overthink things? Yeah. I'm one of those overthinkers, okay? I start to overthink it, and then I start to worry. And that's what Peter did. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? This is what happens, isn't it, with us? That's what happens with me. We have a problem keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. We have a problem keeping them focused. We see the wind and the waves, and they consume our attention, and we begin to sink under the weight of it. But you know, we're called to what? Walk by faith, not by sight. We believe the power and the promises of God, and we step out looking at how, not necessarily on how it's all going to work out, but looking at Jesus, keeping our eyes focused and fixed on him. And I don't know, it makes me think back to this silly illustration about the car. You know, my driving changed because my focus changed. No longer was I focused on, like, getting there first, getting there quickly. But suddenly I was focused on something else, had caught my attention, and that was my focus, and that changed my behavior, how I drove the vehicle, changed how I thought about driving. And the same is true with Jesus. When we fix our eyes on him, everything else changes. The focus, the things that we stress out about, the things that we worry about, the things, the waves and the wind, they lose their impact on us. And no longer do they bother us when we focus on Jesus. And I want to leave you with one final verse that's, I want to kind of stick in your mind if I can. And that is from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, this would be a good verse for you to write down and to memorize and to keep in front of you. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Would you read it with me? You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I don't know where your mind is this morning, but I'm pretty certain all of us could use some more of the peace of God in our lives. And so I want to challenge you to take the opportunity to stay your mind on him. I like that phrase, stayed. That your mind is stayed on him. We don't use that phrase, but I like it. And I wonder if you could take the opportunity this morning to stay your mind, to fix your mind on him. And I think of this silly movie when I think about this, What About Bob, where Bob Wiley says, take a vacation from my problems. And I want to encourage you to do that. To take a vacation from your problems. And I don't mean that we ignore them and that we don't have to deal with them. We do. But to keep our mind stayed on Jesus so that our perspective about those problems change. And I think when we do that, we become a person of peace. We become a peaceful person because we trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We become a peaceful person. And so, would you stay your mind on him this morning? Would you bring everything that you're anxious about and present it to the Lord this morning? Would you rest in the peace of God that is beyond understanding? Let's take a moment to pray together. I want to give you just a moment to give those things to the Lord that are on your heart that you're tempted to worry about. And you know what they are. They're the ones that press in on you. Would you just give them to him? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Let's take a moment to do that. Father, we're thankful this morning that we can experience true and lasting peace. First of all, we're so grateful that you sent your Son so that we would no longer be enemies with you, that by believing in him and what he did on the cross for us, that we might have peace with you. And not just peace, but that you would call us your sons and your daughters. How we give thanks to you this morning for that gift. And Lord, this morning we admit that we are often anxious people. And that we have things that we worry about, that we struggle with. Lord, we give those to you this morning. We recognize that you offer us a peace that is beyond what we could ever completely understand. Lord, we pray for that peace to be experienced and felt in our hearts today. Lord, we give them to you. Lord, increase our faith, our trust. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to get our eyes off of the problems in our lives and to get our eyes on you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.